Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 22 through 27. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 27, finishing the race with joy. Remember, Paul here is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Father, we thank you that you have given us in your word rich counsel, and pray that even this morning you would cause this counsel to be very real to us, and that we might know your ways and walk faithfully in them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the time of year when, no matter where you go, you constantly hear the conversation centered around the Olympics. Everybody's talking about the Olympics. And as you open up the newspaper and you see a great big picture of a smiling face, somebody from ear to ear, you can see the joy just oozing out. And this is one of the winners. The joy of having finished the race well. Now, those gold, silver, and bronze medals were not won by people who just decided that day, as they were visiting the Olympics, wouldn't it be fun to participate? No. They had come to a decision long before that they were going to give themselves to a very different lifestyle, because they had a desire to run that race or that event, whatever it was, and to do well. They had no intention of coming in 145th or something like that. They wanted to win. They wanted to finish the race with joy. I know some of us are joyful just to be able to finish the race, but that's not their goal. Their goal is to finish it well, to run well, to do well. And so as a result, they chose a lifestyle different from the average person. Rosalind Sumner's, for example, world champion figure skater, was losing out on even any hope of getting into the Olympics. And the reason was because she had fallen into an undisciplined life. And she says, "I was giving in to myself in many ways." Her coach finally read her the riot act and said, "Don't come back on this ice until you are determined to go all the way, to do what I tell you to do, and to work as hard as you can." And so she made that decision that she was going to give it her all, and began practicing 7 hours a day, and began refusing anything that would interfere with the perfection of her performance. And so she said, late nights, excess food, skimping on practice became things that were just out of the question. They no longer became a temptation because she had one goal. She wanted to finish with joy. And so she chose a very different lifestyle. Now that's what Paul tells us in this portion of Scripture. Paul says, I am determined to finish my race with joy. And for that reason, I have chosen a very different lifestyle. And he divides this into two sections. Notice in verse 22, he says, and now behold. And there he tells us that he looks at his future in a very different way than most people. In verse 25, he says again, and now behold. He divides the section up for us. And there he says, I look at the present in a very different way than most people look at the present. First of all, then, verses 22 through 24, how did Paul look at the future? Paul says, looking at the future, he said, I can say something very certain, and that is that bonds and afflictions abide me or await me. The picture there is, as you're off on a journey and you think about coming home and you think about the family there waiting for you, and you can picture yourself going in the door and there's the family, they've been waiting for you. And that's the picture here. These are the words that Paul uses, the abiding. What Paul is saying, he says, when I get there, I know what's going to be waiting for me. It's going to be bonds and afflictions. That's what I'm expecting. The Holy Spirit, he says, has given me assurance. The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And you know what? We have that same promise. Because the Holy Spirit also says in Paul's words to Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we have the word from the Holy Spirit, we will suffer affliction if we are determined to live for God. Peter says in his epistle, don't be surprised when these afflictions come upon you as if it were some unusual thing happening to you. He says, plan on it. Plan on it. Now in Russia and in China, bonds and afflictions are a way of life. But here in this land, we're spoiled. And we are tempted to say with the foolish man of whom Jesus spoke, my soul, build barns and take your ease. Jesus says, he's a fool. Because you don't finish your course with joy by building your barns and taking your ease. To finish your course with joy, you have to get ready for affliction. And Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, get ready to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because as a soldier, you're going to have a disciplined and difficult life. But only as a soldier you are determined that you are willing to have a difficult and disciplined life will you be able to finish your course with joy. We know what happened to the Syrian armies as they were in their tents drinking and carousing. And Gideon came upon them and they didn't know what hit them. We might not drink and carouse, but we might be willing just to give in to anything less than a disciplined and difficult life. That's the requirement for finishing our course with joy. And so Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, bonds and afflictions are waiting for you, Paul. And the question is, how then can we overcome? And I think as of our dear brothers in Russia and China, you know, how would I face that kind of pressure? How can we overcome when afflictions come upon us? Paul says, let me tell you how you overcome. Paul says, none of these things move me. They don't move me from my determination to finish my course with joy. And this is how. Paul says, because I do not count my life dear unto myself. I do not count my life something of value to myself. Now, the word life here is really the word soul, and it refers not to our everlasting life that we have with God, but it refers to our mind, will, and emotions. And Paul says, I don't count my mind, will, and emotions to be something precious or special or of value to me to hang on to. That's how I overcome. When these trials come, you cannot count your own soul, your own life, your own mind, will, and emotions to be something that's for you to enjoy. Something to be held precious for yourself. Because if you do, you're not going to overcome. If you do, you're going to fall in that time of trial. And so, what I think, what I feel, what I want, has to be given over to God. And it cannot be held for myself. Paul says, I do not count my life dear unto myself. And I will not give in to my own thoughts or feelings or desires. As God was dealing with me about this past week, all my life, since I can remember when I was a little boy, I hated tapioca pudding. I think the first time I had it, somebody served it with these great big ones, you know, these huge ones. And I looked at those fish eyes and I said, I can't swallow those things. That's what I called them, fish eyes. And for quite a few years now, because it was a long time ago, I was a little tiny boy. For quite a few years now, I have avoided fish eyes like the plague. And this week we went out to eat one evening, and as I was going through the salad bar, one of the items on the salad bar was a great big pan of fish eyes. And God says, how long are you going to give any importance at all to the way you think or feel or the things you want? How long are you going to give in to your own thoughts and desires and feelings? No, they weren't really bad. But it's so easy to do that. Just give in to ourselves. And Paul says, the reason none of these things move me, I am firm, I am set for God, and I'm determined, I'm going to finish my course with joy. And the reason none of these things move me is because I count not my life dear unto myself. I don't consider that my thoughts and desires and wants are of any importance at all. I do not consider those things to be of value. That's how I make it. I referred a few weeks back to the Russian who, as he went into prison, realizing that they would undoubtedly torture him, realizing they would undoubtedly say also the things they were going to do to his family in order to get him to deny Christ or at least to agree to go along with the government church and become a cooperator with them. He says, as we go into prison, we must determine, body, I don't need you anymore. Family, I don't have any. That's how we make it. That's how we come out again still serving Christ. And if we count either life or loved ones of enduring value, then we will be moved by afflictions. And we must hold them in open hand. Now that doesn't mean we don't take care of our bodies and we don't love our families. But it does mean that before God, they're in an open hand. Paul says, that's the way. None of these things move me. That's the way. I continue on in the course. Now, what is the course? Paul says, the course is the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the course. The course that is set before us is the ministry to testify of the grace of God. And that wasn't only given to Paul, that was given to us as well. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you are my witnesses. And so that same ministry has been given to all of us. We all have that same ministry. And so our course that we are running is not an earthly Olympics, but it's a heavenly calling. You shall be witnesses. And so although we are not representing the USA, we are representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he says, that's our course. Our course is the ministry of the gospel, the diaconate of the gospel. Did you know that you're all deacons? The diaconate, the ministry of the gospel is going into all the world, taking the gospel to every creature, telling them of the grace of God. Now, that's why we suffer. You know, if we would go to men and tell them about the goodness of man, and that if they will just do the best they can, God will certainly be pleased, we wouldn't suffer a thing. The natural man loves to hear that. Why do we suffer? Because we give forth the message of the grace of God. And natural man hates the grace of God. He doesn't want to be indebted to God. He wants to be on his own, self-sufficient, self-determining. You talk about the grace of God. He hates that. He doesn't want any part of that. And so you can plan on being hated if you take the message of the grace of God. And this was Paul's message. And Paul says, this is the course that I'm running. This is the race that's set before me that I want to finish with joy. And Paul had a good example, the Lord Jesus. Luke 9:51, Jesus steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem, even though he knew what was waiting for him there in Jerusalem. And Paul also in Philippians 1:20 says that Christ might be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Because, says Paul, if I hold my life precious to myself, then I will not finish my course with joy. Now, not only the future, Paul says the present as well, verses 25 through 27. He says, I have to look at the present also in a very different way. And he says, first of all, I know that you're not going to see my face anymore. And so Paul says, if we want to finish our course with joy, we have to look at the present as the only opportunity we have. Paul says, whatever I want to say to you, I'm going to say it now because you're not going to see me again. Now, actually, he did see them again. As we trace through the life of Paul, we find that it's very probable that he passed through Ephesus again. But as far as Paul was concerned, he says, what I don't do today, I don't plan on getting done. And so if I want to finish my course with joy, I better do today what ought to be done today, because I'm not planning on tomorrow. And so we need to speak with each person as if it were the last time we would see them again. I think Satan's favorite word is mañana. You know, do it tomorrow. God's favorite word is today. Do it today. Talking with a woman with tears in her eyes, said that years before, she knew that God wanted her to speak to her neighbor about the Lord. And she put it off. And finally, one day, And the neighbor moved, and she never had the opportunity. She couldn't. She never was able to find where she went, was never able to follow her up. She never had the opportunity of speaking with that neighbor. And with tears in her eyes, she says, I ask God every day to forgive me. We can't plan on tomorrow. What we're going to do, we have to do today. And so, we can't do something yesterday. Sometimes people will say, well, when does he want that? He wants it yesterday. We can't do anything yesterday. We can't do anything tomorrow. The only time we have is today. And so God's favorite word is today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And Paul says to the Ephesian elders in verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day. And in fact, the Greek is very strong here, and it could be translated this very day. I take you to record this very day. This is the only day we've got. And so God's word is today. And Paul says, I don't plan on tomorrow ever coming. And the second thing, he says that for the present, and connected with this, I don't plan on tomorrow. And he says, that's the reason I don't hold back any truth. And in verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I'm not holding back anything. I'm giving you the whole counsel of God. Now, one of the advantages of topical preaching is that you can avoid the things you'd rather not deal with. And let's face it, we all have things that we're not really excited about dealing with. And if you're preaching topically, you can just conveniently avoid some of those things you'd rather not deal with right now. Later, mañana. Oh, I'm not avoiding them, it's just that I'll do those next week. Paul said, I didn't hold back anything. And the advantages then of expository preaching, going right on through a book of the Scripture, is that you come to things you can't avoid. You might like to avoid them. You can't avoid them. Sometimes there's a temptation to not want to preach on the things that you're really not doing or not doing all that much. But you know, that's a misconception of what preaching is. See, preaching is not me talking at you. Preaching is God talking to us. Now that means I don't need the preaching any less than you do. You don't need it any more than I do. And it isn't pious phraseology when I say I'm preaching to myself as much as to you. Because that's what God does. Through his word, he speaks to all of us. And just because I happen to be saying it doesn't mean that God isn't speaking to me about it. Just because I happen to be saying it doesn't mean that I've mastered it. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on something that I'd rather not talk about, even though it's topical and I chose it out. I've learned that I'd better not avoid the things that God wants me to talk about. And it's something that I've had a battle with for years and years and years. And so tonight, if you get the idea that I'm preaching at you, I just want to remind you that I'm preaching what God is saying to all of us. And that I realize very definitely my needs. In fact, God is so good, he gives us fresh illustrations all the time. And during the announcement time this morning, I talked a little bit about the men's breakfast and about getting up early. And kidded a little bit about getting up early. Did you catch that? And one of the things I said, you might have felt that I was getting a little dig in at you. The topic tonight is kidding is for real. What I was really doing as I evaluated it is that, you know, I've finally got myself psyched into that alarm going off at 6 o'clock. You know, but 5 o'clock, every month I struggle with, isn't there some way we can handle this men's breakfast without getting up at 5 o'clock? And so, see, kidding is for real. I was expressing some real struggles of my own heart as I did that. And so, preaching is for all of us, not just for the one sitting in the pew. In fact, some sermons, as I'm preaching them, I know that I need what I'm saying more than some of you do. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't preach them. In fact, there are some topics that God has laid on my heart to study, and I, you know, God, I'm really not excited about that. And then I would say, God, no, I really shouldn't preach that because I have some real problems there. And God says, preach it, brother. Maybe it'll help you. And so God's given me a vision that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so maybe if I research it and preach it, it'll help me. And Paul says, I haven't held back anything. I don't think Paul had the idea that he was perfect and that there was nothing that he had to work on anymore. I don't think that was so. I think Paul says, I didn't hold back any scripture from you. And he could say that not because he was perfect, but because he knew he needed it too. And as he was preaching it, he was getting benefit from it. And so we must not avoid any passage of Scripture. In fact, the one we might want to avoid is the one we need the most. We need the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God, regardless of whether we've perfected it yet. If we haven't, we need it more. Regardless what box it might fit into or not fit into, we need it. We need the whole counsel of God. You know, those that go into the Olympics, all of a sudden they realize there are some rules. And if they violate those rules, they're out. No matter how much they've trained, they're out. And God's given us His rule book here, the Scriptures. And no matter how dedicated we might be, if we're violating the Scriptures, we're not going to finish with joy. God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Then thou shalt finish thy course with joy. And so we need the book of God. You want to finish with joy? Then there are future goals and present commitments in your life that are going to have to be very different from the life of those of this world, and sometimes even very different from the life of many nominal Christians. Two hands, one of them wide open, and that's with your life in it. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, what you think, what you want, what you feel, open hand. It's yours, God. The other one, tightly closed on the Scriptures. I will not let go of the truth of the Word of God. This is the rule book. Not legalistic rules. This is the rules of the game if you want to finish your course with joy. You know, some of the saddest people, put it the other way, some of the saddest tasks that I've had have been visiting people that are dying. Not always, but sometimes. It's when they were people who have held their lives dear unto themselves and have not walked in the whole counsel of God. All the tears. There's such a contrast as people die. Some with the joy of heaven on their faces. It's like Philip looking up and seeing the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And some of them with tears, weeping, because they know that they've held their lives dear unto themselves. And they wish they could do it all over again. But it's too late. They're not robbers, murderers, adulterers. Just Christians who have held their lives dear unto themselves. Just like the talented athlete who was just never able to get a hold of himself long enough to train for the Olympics. It's a total commitment. It's a different way of life. And as you see that picture of that person there with that gold medal, remember that if you want to finish the race with that kind of joy, it's got to be given all to God. With an open hand, Paul says, the way I plan on finishing with joy is that I will not hold my life precious for myself, and I will share all the counsel of God. Father, we know that men do these things for an earthly crown, for an earthly medal, for earthly glory. And yet the Apostle Paul uses this comparison. And he says, I run not just to have been in the race. He says, I run because I want to win. And we do confess, Father, that it is so easy for us as Christians, although we have, by your Spirit, a desire to please you, a desire to run the race. It is so easy to give in to ourselves and to hold precious to ourselves our own thoughts, our own desires, and our own feelings. We pray that you would teach us anew what it is to so run the race that by your grace we might finish the course with joy. And hear those words of the Lord Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.